All right, welcome to Crippled
System.
Are
you going to introduce this yet or what?
I'm trying, goddammit.
Danny's okay. Already turned off the podcast. He's like, goddammit, there's no war machine talk.
That's true, there isn't. He's figured that out after 8 episodes.
All right. I figured out who Danny was when I saw that comment. I asked around.
Yeah, she wanted to know who Danny was.
And we told you, like, told that guy.
And she was like, oh, I know him. So anyway, welcome to episode 8 of Crippled System. This is Jeremy Shea, or Valiant418 on the forums. I play Rhett and Legion.
My name is Katie. I'm Bad Horse on the forums, and I play Circle.
My name is Nathan, Rydia fan. I play Mercs, and as of yesterday, I have fully painted Pharaoh Force.
Sweet.
Like, everything. It's amazing. Just hit me. Like, I picked up the phone, like, wow, every single one of those things is painted.
Nice.
Feels good.
Somebody threw it at you from the top of the stairs.
Yes.
It just hit you, literally.
Literally.
Yeah. Literally. Carnage for you, or Brian, as sometimes I'm called.
Brian Edge,
occasionally. Yeah. I play Crix.
You sound like you're asleep.
so enthusiastic.
I have the energy of a dead cat.
Our new guest podcast with Stephen Wright, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the
Stephen Hawking, but whatever.
I bought dehydrated water.
You don't know who Stephen Hawking is?
Or no,
you don't know
I
who
know.
Stephen Wright is?
I don't know Stephen who Stephen Hawking. Wright is, but for Stephen Hawking, I don't know why he would sound like
I'm
him.
Not a computer.
He sounds like a computer.
He doesn't sound.
Disinterested and computer are different.
Yeah, I know. They are, but...
I honestly miss the days when Stephen Hawking was didn't have his translator. He just had an interpreter who would just basically... Stephen Hawking would make his noises that he would. Like, and then one day, the Earth was created from celestial bodies. Yeah.
Do you want to introduce yourself, Andy?
I just love your heartfelt, so appropriate Stephen Hawking impression.
it was
my impression of the smartest man in history.
No. It was honestly. And I wanted his interpreter to get something wrong so you could just hear him say.
That would be pretty good.
Oh, and I'm Major Tusk, Andy on the forums.
You're Andy on the forums.
Yep, Andy on the forums.
Major Tusk in real life, Andy on the forums.
Weird. I played Trollbots. Your parents were hippies, huh?
Yeah. His sister's name is Apple.
Moon
what?
Unit.
Moon Unit. Yeah.
Yeah. You're Frank Zappa's kid.
Yep. No, was, Apple was Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, but Moon Unit was
Moon
Frank
Unit
Zappa.
Was yes,
Dweezil Ahmed. Moon Unit,
yep.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
Poor children.
All right, so are we going to talk about anything besides weird names today?
We're
going to
talk about Stephen Wright.
So
I don't
here's
think we
something
were.
That
Stephen
they've
Wright,
done studies
he is
on
amazing.
Children's
he,
names and how weird your life is if you have a weird name. Like, how terrible it is. Like, you don't get anything in life.
Well, that's why, like, in, like, Switzerland or Sweden or one of those SW countries, they have a council where you have to get names approved for your baby.
Really?
Like, you literally go there and say, yeah. I want yep. to name my baby Moon Unit. And they say no.
No.
And you can't name your kid Moon Unit. And, like, it seems like, you know, it's all, like, First Amendment smashy stuff like that. But then, last year there's a big hubbub about this guy in one of those rectangular states in the middle of the country who named his daughter Adolf Hitler.
What?
So, like, his last name is, like, Johnson or whatever. So her name is Adolf Hitler Johnson.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I swear, you know, it's not because I'm a Nazi or anything. Meanwhile, he's wearing, like, Jack
yeah,
Roots, and he's one of those really creepy guys. So
yeah.
It's like, oh.
Well, I told you what, Katie, one time we were talking about kids' names, and she was like, all right, we'll just name our daughter, if we have a daughter, Anna Sophia. And I was like, you're really going to name your child with the initials ASS and expect her to go through life that way. You're going to do that to her. You're going to be that mom.
Well, one, that's funny. Two, I didn't realize that.
she didn't think about the fact that when your last name is Shay, that makes your last initial S.
That's because Shay's a first name. It's not a last name.
Well, I was in a consignment shop once and saw a robe that somebody had, like, given up because they apparently had not thought through when they got themselves a personalized robe because the initials engraved on it were PMS. And I saw the
That's
robe
fantastic.
And I'm like, I need to get that robe for the missus so she can wear it as a warning to
what
me.
What color was it?
Tell
me it was blood red.
Well, the initials might have been. The robe was not. It was terry cloth white.
Unfortunate naming incidents happened to me when I was working for tech support, and somebody had their email address. I won't say the end of it, but the beginning part of the email address was his name was Chase Stedman.
Okay,
and it's S T E D M-A-N. So, and his first name was C-H-E. So if you look at the email address, it was looked like Chested Man. and I read it back that way.
The classic
to the customer.
The classic one is PennIsland.com.
Yeah,
was a big one when the internet was first rolling out.
Penn Island, nice. Yeah,
it's important where that space goes, and website names don't have a space in them.
No.
Unfortunate. You can put a dot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the internet was young, people didn't really think those sorts of things through.
No. Some people did, and then bought up names like Target.com. And
Sex.com.
Whitehouse.com.
Or Children's Exchange.
Yes, that one, too. It was Child's Exchange.
Yeah.
Child's Exchange.
That's terrible. All right. Are we talking about anything even remotely War Machine related?
Why am I here?
No. honestly, this
you don't
is,
have anywhere
this,
else to be.
You're here. Oh, you're here. Raylene was going to make meatloaf after the podcast, so if you're hungry, you're here for that.
I'm here for that. I like the artist meatloaf.
I do, too.
More so 20 years ago, but...
You know. Man out of the Hell is amazing.
I do want to say, though, that this Bad episode is...
Two.
Yeah.
Is dedicated to
meatloaf.
To meatloaf?
No,
that's amazing.
Nope, to Danny.
Yeah.
To Danny.
Hey, Danny, we love you.
In honor of Danny.
So no one wishing that talk then?
No. I wasn't joking on forums. Anytime Danny says something, I reverse it and then double it, and that is
he's like a professional forum troll.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, man.
Well, now you're giving him proper credit.
Well, he didn't say he was a successful
professional. No, I just said he was professional.
The Milwaukee Bucks are professional basketball players. Yeah, look at them.
The Cubs are professional baseball players.
I will say Danny is doing the exact same thing. He is getting rid of his Crixx for Mercs. He's like, he's out of the... He's fallen in love with his Mercs, and he is complete.
No, he's fallen in love with
the Galleon.
With Galleon.
Oh, no, he's been playing like Damiano. Like,
cool.
Because he has all these like non-Galleon lists that he's... plays all the time.
His last tournament report, he had the same two casters I run, and then one of them, like, he did Damiano with Pirates, which I love, and then his other list was Durgan. And I was like, hey, I did Damiano, Pirates, Durgan at the last Mayhem Cup.
That's true.
He's like, yeah, my big concern is that Durgan doesn't have any Fearless providing models in his list. I hope that doesn't bite me. And I'm like, I seem to remember that's what fucked me over in the last Mayhem Cup.
Lost, you know?
So that is a good concern to have.
We hate you.
Thinking about that, he did have a bunch of Mercs at War Machine Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have his Crixx.
Yeah, so I can respect that it's not just Flavor of the Day, Bart Galleon.
He got
into
it for the Flavor of the Day, but it really felt
He got into it for Galleon, but it doesn't mean you can't love it once you get there. You know?
Yeah. I'm getting kind of sick of the taste of Danny's dick in my mouth right now, though. So
all right,
I can't say any more nice things about
moving on.
Him.
Well, that's our lifetime supply of nice comments for Danny.
I hope you enjoyed him, Danny, because from now on you can just go fuck yourself.
Well, but he's already turned this off.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's already turned off.
Yeah, we're done.
That's the funny part.
We are dead to him.
I don't know. He did say that he plays EnviroBear at least 5 hours a day. So,
make sure you write down
5 minutes, five somethings.
Here's something good to do, because I can't remember what we actually talk about. And when I listen to it to edit it, I drone it out.
Yeah.
So,
it's the only proper thing to do in this podcast.
If you could write down kind of like when we switched subjects, it'd be great.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, 'cause he doesn't see the same time stamp.
What I can do is I'll let out a high pitched shrieky sound every time I'm going to switch topics.
No, just kind of.
So, like, for example.
All you have to listen for is me saying moving on.
No. It'd be like every 2 minutes that we're going to
have a new topic.
No, we did have a topic. Well, we're at the 11 minute mark. We're done talking about Danny.
All right, topic. What's our topic?
Well,
you
now
don't have
the
to
topic
write down timestamps.
What's happening?
Oh my God. The new topic is discussing announcing when we change topics.
Ugh. We'll talk about that post-podcast.
That was the 10-minute mark, was discussing changing topics.
Excellent.
At the 12-minute mark, we're going to switch topics to Steamroller 2013.
Okay, excellent.
Like, what? Yeah.
None of us thought to print it out. What?
We memorized it.
We don't need to put down timestamps. I don't care about timestamps.
You
just subjects.
Our fans want subjects.
No, people want timestamp. That's like the most important thing.
Yeah, they do want
timestamps.
Oh, my God. I don't want
that. That's the most important thing on a podcast.
It takes me 5 hours to put them down.
Content is irrelevant.
Once you post it, I'll get timestamps and post it in the thread.
Good.
What I want is like a Mr. Skin style thing that tells me exactly like from like
naked
10
women?
No, well not that. From like 10 minutes and 30 seconds to 12 minutes and 30 seconds, Jeremy is talking.
No, I'm not doing that.
And so then I know when to skip.
Fuck you.
I could just edit him out.
We'll just jump forward. And
why do I even
bother?
Why
would he be talking for 2 minutes straight?
Because he's droning about some retarded shit. Like, what else is new?
Wow.
But it's not usually 2 minutes.
Wow.
It seems like 2 hours.
He doesn't last 2 minutes, is what you're saying?
Wow, again! The hell? All right, so somebody say something about SR 2013.
It's fun.
It's published.
We're not, well, I will say this.
it's out there.
It is out there. We're not going to try to go through all the scenarios in detail or anything tonight. Like Carnage said, we didn't actually print it out. We all have played it a bunch, especially during the various betas.
We've played at least two full tournaments with
yeah,
the current version.
But we're going to talk about some of the general overriding principles is kind of what we're talking about tonight.
Like some of the bigger new things.
Correct.
And whatnot.
So the biggest thing is the tournament you're running has one of the biggest things ever.
Yes, yes, which
we're
is my cock.
That's the smallest
we're gonna
thing
gonna
ever.
We're going to start with an appendix option. That's what we're
yeah.
going to start with.
Yeah,
we're
it's
gonna,
an awesome
we're
appendix
gonna go
option.
Over the core options. We're going to go right
awesome
to the appendix.
Appendix option.
We're going to work out.
Okay, yeah. When I talked to Hacksaw, I said 2013... And he said, I think the most amazing thing in 2013 is this.
Specialists.
It's specialists.
We're actually going to mention that we're going to be vague.
Yeah. So specialists. I mean, they're amazing. It's a great idea. I tend to think that Nate has a good point that if they were 11 points, it'd be really cool.
Okay, you're really
everybody...
killing the game. Let's actually pretend we actually have a
let's
a
tell
structure.
What it is before we tell what's wrong
let's,
with
let's,
it.
Let's, yeah, let's actually have. Just for once.
All right, fine. Structure it. Knock yourself out.
Specialists is basically a sideboard.
Yes.
What it is that
a cyborg.
Cyborg. Yeah, cyborgs, usually they're specialists in things because they can't be programmed for all general eventualities.
Oh, okay.
Like
that
they terminate things.
Yeah.
No, so did Jerry.
a new record.
As the longest record or the
yeah.
Don't plug you.
Oh, poor! I'm even starting to feel bad for him. Oh, we love you, Jeremy. I bought you chocolates and soda, though, so I'm allowed
That's
to be
true.
Mean.
I feel better now.
Anyway, so specialist is basically if you make you go to your tournament, you make your 50 point list or lists or however many, and then each one of your lists has an additional 10 point kind of sub list off to the side. And after you roll for deployment with your opponent, you both simultaneously and secretly select any number of points from that sub list to switch out for the same number of points from your main list. So, you know, if you have Ayan and Holt in your sub list and you go up against somebody who has a lot of incorporeal models and you're like, I need magical weapons, you would drop 4 points worth of something else to put Ayan and Holt in there.
The nice thing I like about it is when you go to tournaments, you have to factor in the big things. Like, what do I need to deal with an Epic Gatsby? What do I need to deal with Epic Haley? And sometimes that means your list variety is a little bit limited and it gets a little repetitive. So sideboard lets you kind of, okay, you don't see those top three killer things of the day, whatever they happen to be. You can actually play kind of more what you want to play because you maybe have a more balanced list for everything else.
Right.
And I think variety is the most important thing because sometimes I'm like, oh, great, I have to play this list or this list like 90% of the time because I need to deal with all the, you know, the people who can't have imaginations have to play the top tier stuff. So it's nice to...
And I mean, it doesn't get around character restricts. It's not like you can just be like, I want Ayan and Holt in both lists, so I put them in both sideboards. It's still character restricted. But I agree. It gives you some very cool options.
It does have some weird additional restrictions. Like, one of the ones I mean, I understand that they don't want you to accidentally screw this up, but one thing that kind of bugs me is that I can't have animosities in the main list and the sub list. Like, you can't have Victor Pendrake in your main list and Saxon Orc in the sub list and switch them out because the lists are considered to be one list together and animosity can't be within the same list.
So that the whole thing has to match tier, too?
Tiers and themes, I think I'm hoping by next year if it sticks around to get it refined, it does get, if you have to kind of really read into it, but there are some oddities if you try, especially because you could theoretically go in and out of theme.
Right.
But it really gets weird when you have to talk about point reductions and all that kind of thing. There's a lot of, I need to get a flow list created to understand exactly how specialists work with themes and out of themes going back and forth.
Because one of the other big ones that Brian and I were talking about before is like his example was the new Witch Coven theme force gives you, and several theme forces give you like a reduction on point costs on jacks.
Sure.
But with specialists, you switch out point value for point value on the cards, not what you actually paid.
Mm-hmm.
So like if with the Coven theme force you wanted to put a Helldiver in there, those are 3 point models. They cost you 2 point models. You can't drop a 2 point pistol wraith and bring in a 2 point Helldiver. You have to drop something that has a number 3 on its card or a 2
really?
And a 1 because you're dropping 3 from the card value. Values and bring in 3 from
but
the
doesn't
card
that mean you can totally shenanigan it the other direction?
I'm shrug is what I'm doing here. It's a little thing. I don't think it'll come up that often, but it is a little weird operational there.
And it is, I mean, like the specialist is it's only only some events will use it. We're lucky enough to have 2 events coming up that are focusing on it. And I hope it's something that sticks around, but I mean it is just an appendix item that over time will probably get refined.
Right.
From my understanding of it as well, is you have to swap out your armies. You choose your caster for when we're going to take on each other. Then you swap out your specialists in secret. So yeah. Your opponent doesn't know what you've just swapped out for. So you could be like, you know, you've got something big and nasty that I want to basically, almost in a sense, net deck for off of my specialist list, and you could just pull them out of your list and put in something completely different.
Well, yeah, like tying to what I said before, like let's say you're playing Krix and I'm playing Mercs, and I I don't have Aeon and Hulton, and you have Black Banes in your list, so I'm like, crap, I need Aeon and Hulk because I need the magical weapons. I'm doing this, I switch them in, you also then secretly switched out Black Banes and put in something else. And it's like, oops. The thing I dropped actually was better against the Bane Knights you just put in there. So, oops. You know, so it's kind of a game of chicken there, which is neat.
It is.
Yeah, I like that better. That way you have that moment. You still have that list versus list that's built, but not like you're completely net decking against your opponent.
Right.
Well, what I like about it, too, as a newer player is it will force me to learn other people's armies better, because it doesn't do me any good to have specialists if I don't know what they do which of my guys will even be better about it. Because what I've done is I've built two lists that I know really well, and so I haven't learned a lot of my other units. But if there's a specific unit that works really well against you know, that's something that I would have to learn, and it forces me to expand my boundaries more.
Like, even again, you know, my example, just to keep it the same one, is like you'd have to recognize that you weren't equipped to deal with incorporeal unit.
Right.
If you didn't recognize that threat, you wouldn't know to sub in, you know, Aeon and Holt or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you need to know that the caster is super, super spell slingy, so you know to bring in your druids if you didn't already have them in your circle list.
I can see druids would be a good sideboard.
Yeah, druids would be a fantastic sideboard. I mean, there's a lot of good sideboards out there.
Yeah.
One of the things that it also will, I think, help with, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I think it'll help a little bit in the later rounds when you're locked into a list. Like, there are times when you just sit down with your two lists and you go, okay, I guess we could just shake and give you the game, because I'm locked into this list, you're locked into that list, and boy, is my list bad against yours. But this is like, you can have 10 points of your get out of crap free card that's like, oh man, if they happen to be playing X, I'm not completely hosed if I'm locked into this list.
Which that actually brings up one of the more valid objections I've seen to it, that is kind of the reverse of what Brian was saying, with the, you know, it helps you about like people playing the same OP stuff over and over again, and you don't have to plan, you don't have to build all your lists specifically against them, because you can have a sideboard for it. The flip side is, if there's only one thing that the big bad lists are scared of, the people can run those big bad lists with impunity, because they can have the antidote in their sideboard.
They have no balls.
That's true, but
I'm just saying, I'm talking to you, Keith.
Yeah,
Keith. I wanted to specifically not make sure.
Well, the thing is,
if there's only one thing, you know, if just to pick a random name, let's say Siege was an unstoppable, unkillable caster, unless you had, you know, druids, and then druids shut him down hardcore. Sure. Whatever.
This is a weird world.
I don't want to just say Gatsby 2 every episode.
All right,
all right. So today is Siege.
So in this world,
Siege has trouble against druids.
Siege is unkillable, unstoppable, unbeatable, except for against druids. So the Siege players. E. Gatsby wins everything ever, but there's like one thing he's scared of. He can bring that antidote in his, you know, like he's like Excarnate. He's scared of things that have tough or whatever.
Right.
So he can, instead of having to have the Blood Witch in his list as an E. Gatsby player, you can have her on your sideboard.
You can play something that's strictly more powerful.
Just Banes all day long. Everything awesome. Just rocking, crushing face. And then you come against a list that has a lot of tougher or healing, and you go, oh, okay, I'll just sub in my Blood Witch and crush your face too.
Right. I think that's a good reason why it's an appendix, right? Not actual core rules for it. And for that reason only, I don't see it becoming a core rule. I hope it doesn't, but
it's also kind
of maybe some type of limited version of it. Maybe if it comes core, but not,
let me put it this way: I feel the same way about that I did about reinforcements. It's a really cool rule. That's fun. It changes the way a given game is played. It may not be, like, at the end of the day, the reinforcement scenario, something that a lot of people notice with reinforcement scenarios is some factions just had strictly better reinforcements than others. Like, they just did. And that was a true thing. And so if you happen to be playing a list that had access to some of those really good reinforcements, like Raptors were just amazing.
Reinforcements were 9 points, so my favorite thing to bring was Lesser Warlocks.
Yeah.
I thought those were fun, which any Hordes list
10 points.
Are they 10 points? All right.
Yeah. It would be nice to see a year of trying to see it.
So anyway, I'm excited about that. But we don't have to talk only about that. Yeah. What else in 2013 are we excited about?
overview, there's only 12 scenarios.
Yep.
They got limited down. There's actually 6 categories of scenarios. Yep. So theoretically, because you shouldn't repeat categories if you play 6. You know, so if you play, because how often do events go bigger than 6 rounds?
Right.
Almost, even the big events are still 6 rounds or less.
Right.
So you go from each category,
which is cool.
The big thing about the scenarios in general is that they need like 5 scenario points to win. They've got huge. It is universally 5 now.
I think every scenario is 5,
but they're way more scorable than they were in the past. Yep. Like in the past, there'd be scenarios that needed to get to 2 and it was impossible. And now everything's 5 and everything's possible. I haven't seen a scenario on there that you can't win. The hardest one I think is destruction. But once you break that bad boy open, that thing ends.
Yep. Yeah, somebody's going to be scoring once you pop that.
Well, because of the domination mechanic.
Yep. And we've even played Death Clock events, and people have still been winning by scenarios quite a bit. So that was our initial concern is it seemed great for time turns, but we weren't sure if Death Clock would be an issue. We were still winning by scenario and Death Clock easily.
Yep.
Well, one thing I also noticed is that once somebody starts scoring, it's really hard to catch up to them. So it encourages more aggressive play than previous ones.
Which still brings the game to an end.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's true.
The domination, like, you can score, like, 3 points in a turn now. Because they usually, a lot of them have an objective that you can break for a point. And the domination mechanic, which, you know, anybody who hasn't read Steamroller 2013 yet, is basically the same as controlling, but with your Warlock or Warcaster. Instead of giving you 1 point, like control gives you 2. So, like, if you break an objective and dominate a zone, that's 3 out of the 5 in, like, 1 turn. So they can be really swingy if you can pull that off.
Yeah. And don't worry, it's not completely... We played in a tournament where it got a little bit misplayed. The Coven is not completely broken with the dominate rules. There is a caveat in there that even if you have multiple models in your caster or some of the new caster units, you can still only dominate a single zone or objective at a time.
Although, hilariously, if one of them is outside of the kill box, you still get kill boxed.
Yes,
and
you
do. And the new Steamroller kill box is different. It's 14 inches, but if you are outside of it, you get a 2...
Your opponent gets 2 points.
2 points. And it's completely within, within now. Yep. So it's not much. For a large-based caster, it's about the same as it was before. For a small-based caster, it's slightly further up the board.
Yep.
And for a huge-based caster, it's going to be terrible.
For a huge-based caster,
you're right.
That's
way better.
Thing.
That's
they'd have to have their front edge 17 inches in when it was any part of you within a foot.
Yeah.
So it's way better for a huge-based caster, which is why they did it. They did it specifically for huge-based casters.
So you're saying I think you misquoted there. It's within, or is
it's completely within 14 of the edge? Is you are killboxed.
Okay. So
whereas before, if your toe tipped
within
12 inches.
If you're
all
within 12. So before it was any part within 12. Now it's all of you not within 14. So that's a 2-inch change. But because of the within versus completely within, for large-based models, it's identical. And for mediums and smalls, it's a 0.5 inch further up the field.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't think I'm getting that.
So
because the front edge of your large-based model is going to be at like 19.
No, front edge of your large-based model is 14
and a millimeter.
So you're saying within 14 of the side edge?
No.
If you are completely within 14 of the side edge, i.e. no part of you is further than 14 inches, you are killboxed.
Correct.
You're thinking from the center point out. You're thinking from the center point
out. To not be killboxed, you have to be within 14.
Yes, you're thinking the other way around.
Yes, that's what
I'm saying. And that's why people do that a lot with killbox, and they did since it was introduced. They get confused with I want to be within this square, so it's bad to be completely within the edge, and they kind of flip flop the way their brain's thinking about it. So.
It's one of those things that you write it down, like draw a picture, and it's easy. But
another aspect of this version is warcasters, warlocks can no longer contest zones,
woohoo!
Which is great. So if you get ahead of someone and they just start putting their like. Unkillable caster in the edge of a zone. That's the only model left. They'll actually lose the game now instead of make you like either get death clocked or just drag it out forever.
Right.
It's really, I think one of my top favorite things of the change.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. One thing that Jeremy reminded me of, and I actually stole this from somebody else on the Privateer Press forums, is they had an interesting idea, which is using the shifting stones to shift out an objective.
Yeah, the objectives have immobile. They don't have immovable object.
And they're faction.
It's not the objective ones. It's the the structures for destruction. You can't move, but you can't move destruction.
Those are enemy.
No, no, they're, and they're different. They're actually structures. It's the man.
The objectives.
Those can be, but not like destruction markers. I don't believe those.
Yeah.
Those are the ones. No, they can't be.
The ones you crack for a point?
They're not structures. Yeah. They're models.
What I'm saying is those, the destruction markers can't be moved.
Why not?
By them. Well, I don't have the printouts for them, so okay. You know, no, I can't
but
really
I mean,
say it. But
all objectives currently can be.
Yeah, currently all of the objectives
all got
can
the
be
immobile.
Moved.
They've all got the immobile rule. They don't have immovable object or the other ones that say, you know, it specifically can't be placed.
Right. And what
they can't be moved, they can't be slammed, they can't be pushed, they can't be any of that. They're just like a shifting stone where teleporting them is the only way to move them.
And the reason shifting stones specifically are different now is because it got the friendly, quote-unquote friendly ones are now friendly faction. And you have to be in faction for the stones to shift you.
Right. But other stuff like TK and
TK would have worked before, theoretically.
Well, one other thing about the shifting stones real quick is they used to be able to score, and they cannot score.
That's
now.
True.
Yeah.
And mobile models can no longer score.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not a circle player, that probably doesn't matter much to you, but circle has several things that might care about that.
Storm pods are a big thing that also that is important towards.
I think that's actually why the rule came out.
It was dropping storm pods.
They can contest, though.
They can contest, yeah, but immobile models can't score.
And the
stuff like created things like also can't score, which is a big deal. It's they call
Incubi?
It. There's an exception section where they talk about a lot of stuff. Like in SteamRoller 2012, there was kind of like a chart where they assigned point values to things that were created or didn't have inherent point values. It was stuff like, you know, count up all the incubi on the table, divide by five, group them into that many units. Each unit is now worth 2 points because a group of five incubi and all that stuff. And now there's just a flat thing saying like, yeah, if you were made, you don't count. Piss off.
It says that. It's like,
yeah, that's
yeah.
What they put in there.
Well,
they got tired halfway through beta and just didn't piss off. Hacksaw's a spy, by the way.
So what were you saying, Katie? I'm sorry.
The unit leader for the stones can score.
Right. The whole unit. If the whole unit is in and it's got the UA, the UA himself is not immobile.
Right.
So he meets the not immobile restriction, and then the rest of the unit being there meets the unit is in restriction.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
That bastard. It would be kind of like if they said only living models could score, Alexia herself could score it, even though the Risen aren't.
Can't, yeah.
That'd be really unfair, then, because then, like, half of my war beasts couldn't score.
Yeah, and Kricks wouldn't score ever.
I don't see the issue with that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that would be, I'm sure that'd be allowed.
Yeah.
If you cast X card, you can't score points. another Myron.
Seems like a good rule to me. So... What other big things in 2013 that people want to talk about?
No, those are the
zone
changes.
There's not
the
many
zones are
varieties.
2 inches shorter, no, which make you angry.
Most of the zones are you have your objectives. Casters used to have to be base to base to control before. Now casters have to be within two inches. And then also there was a few other minor changes.
Control is still base to base, but dominate is
well. But
casters
can never.
Right.
But also, most of the zones are either the same old circles are 12x16. You don't have. There's no more overrun. The variety of zone shapes have been reduced heavily to 12x16 or 12x6.
12x6.
And
yes.
Then this couple circles and then the flags and objectives.
Well, to be fair, the scenarios that got played heavily in 2012 tended to be ones with similar sized zones. I think at least in the tournaments I went to.
Yeah.
Because it's easier for TL.
Yeah.
It's just way easier for a TL.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is the fleeing units can't contest new, or has that always been?
That's been around
for
a while.
That's been around forever.
Yeah. That bit me in the ass the other day.
The entire unit has to be in the zone to score is also not new, and that also bit you in the ass the other day.
It did.
Yeah, I walk over, and they're packing up a game, and her opponent's like, yeah, I won the game, this unit scored the zone, and I look, and there's a guy like 5 inches away from the zone, while the rest of the unit's in the zone, and I'm like, that unit scored the zone just now or like 2 turns ago when it didn't look like that. No, he just scored. I'm like, you need to reread Steamroller.
Yeah. Well, at that point, we'd already packed it up enough that we couldn't
But
pick
you
it
get
back
the
up.
Retroactive moral victory because he cheated.
I know he did. Well, but he still counted it as a win on the little league paper, which I don't know that that's
asterisk.
Actually a win. And
he's a big cheater. Jeff's a known cheater.
Troll Jeff, that is.
Asterisk.
Troll Jeff. Yeah.
He's trouble.
But yeah, so no rules, I guess, is.
That's right. I mean, I lost at a tournament with Process of Elimination. I guess I never told this on the podcast. I was playing Process of Elimination, the 2012 scenario where you have to score the left or the right, and then score the other side. And I was playing against a troll player, and he was playing like a troll brick.
He scored
the
left
troll
twice.
Brick into one side, scored it. I moved into the other side, scored it hard, had everything in my army in the other side, So he moved the two models that were on the side he was already in out and said, I score, I win. And I was like, oh, yeah, you do. I guess that's my bad. And then we, like, started packing up, and we turned in our sheets, and I started the next round. I'm sitting there, like, deploying my army the next round, and I scream out, son of a bitch! That's why it's called Process of Elimination.
It's sad.
I thought it was a poop reference.
It's so common for people to lose scenarios, like, similar. It's like, it's, I mean, obviously, scenarios, I mean, it does involve reading, like, almost sometimes 3 to 4 lines of text.
That's a lot of words. I don't know if you know
but
that.
But it's so common. People go, I don't
know.
Well,
the thing is, too, though, it's like you miss one word
in
a scenario packet sometimes, and it's a huge difference.
That's why at my events, I always, like, when people are at their table and start deploying, I always say, oh, now everybody listen to me, because I am going to say in simple English how you score this.
You don't run events.
That's true.
He's running an event soon.
Sometimes you'll ask for your opponent's caster card so you can look at their feet, and then...
Oh, shush.
Yeah.
We talked about that already.
Yeah, we did.
I already humiliated myself on the internet once.
I feel like you should really know that once. They feet did, to begin with.
Yeah, well, I'm forgetful.
Feet
are overrated. All right.
Then a sub-branch, before Jeremy can declare that he's done talking about this topic, is that in addition to the actual Steamroller, they also came out with the new Hardcore and Masters, which probably most people haven't looked at again as much. You know, it's kind of a subset of people who really, really care about the Hardcores and the Masters. But if you do care about that, Hardcore particularly is way, 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 way different. I know one of the big changes, like the Mage Hunter Prize, which you get for, like, fastest caster kill, there's some weird thing where, like, the fewer enemy models you kill when getting your assassination, the better.
Really?
Like, it's a tiebreak. It's the more scalpely efficient caster kill. So that way it stops people from, like, just grinding their opponent into the dust and killing everything. It encourages quicker play. I'm not sure. I'm not a hardcore player.
I have seen so... I actually dislike that award because I see so many... I've heard this next to me. I heard a guy say in the loser bracket, hey, buddy, you wanna kill me real fast with the award? And then suddenly I hear, caster kill, like, a second later. Or I know the same player who oftentimes, like, there's one player who's, like, given up, like, the most fastest cast kills and, like, more hardcore than anyone because he just runs everything forward all the time. And he's like, oh, I died. I mean, he's having fun, but he doesn't. So I think if you compare with that guy, you probably have the fastest caster kill. So that's not really an award.
And there was also like something about like the higher the strength of schedule of the person you assassinate, the better it was
for you. And that makes sense because sometimes some of those faster caster kills, when it's like when you're in the loser bracket and you know no one cares and it's like the last game and you're just running things around and suddenly you kill someone fast. I mean, that's not really an award.
I mean, not to bring up somebody else's podcast, but you guys listen to Muse I Minis talking about the 4 hardcore awards and how to go for them. Like they specifically said, you want to get fastest caster kill. You go for a caster kill, bottom of 1, top of 2, and if it fails, then you quietly get yourself killed as fast as possible. And then you go do it again in round 2. And they're like, we're not encouraging you to lose intentionally, but that's how you get fastest caster kill. Like, frankly, fastest caster kill happens in the loser's bracket against the 0-3 or the 0-2 players that are there trying to play.
Maybe they're going for the painting award, so they don't care about winning or losing.
And they're just and I mean the thing is all you need is somebody who on turn one, like if you're playing Elilith as a for instance, all you need is an opponent that moved their caster just a little bit too far forward. All things being equal, if they go too far forward, they're probably dead unless it's a very unusual situation.
I was trying to show a note to Andy, but I was going to have him pull up because he was just on the internet a second ago. I wanted him to double check the exact because I know that people were talking about how it's a big change and we're all not remembering the exact change.
Well, I'm bored of the topic already.
Huh? Yeah, we're all bored of the topic, but I just thought Andy could pull it up and see the actual way it worked now because I'm 99% there was something about the higher the strength of schedule.
Well, that's good,
and
that's a good idea.
And
for
so
that
I wanted him to double check it if it wasn't too much of a thing.
Because the other thing that comes up is like hardcore is just a weird format. And I don't know if they adjusted this, but the Destroyer of Worlds award, or whatever it's called, killing the most army points, like, there's some very specific lists you build for that, something like a Terminus that's just going to grind. You go to dice every time. I mean, that's how you get the most army points consistently to win that award. And they had some good points about that. So, anyway, that was somebody else's podcast. Yay.
I never heard
of
it.
What was it? It's our host.
Muse on the
News. Yeah, we can talk about that.
What do they do?
They do our podcast.
Their like end of the year podcast was hilarious because it sounded like our podcast, except they kept referring to Seinfeld for some reason. I don't really know why. It's weird. But.
Quite.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Was that a bit?
That was a shtick.
You can have that.
Is this what I get to say moving on?
No, the next Movies on Muties podcast is going to do that for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Rumble strips.
We're going to start doing random things just to see if Muties on Muties copies them.
What do you think most of our podcasts are?
This is all just a social experiment.
I apologize in advance to everyone's here in person.
Yeah, that's just good timing. I'm going to do random things to see if Muties on Muties copies them. Fart.
I don't think Mike picked up my fart, actually.
No, but my ears sure picked it up. And I guarantee in about 30 seconds my nose is going to pick up. Yeah. And I want this warning.
Right next to him, so I feel like...
That'd be a pause where we just leave the room for a few minutes. Podcast is recording.
What is it like? Actually, in a minute,
we'll keep it recording through the pause there. Just hear everyone evacuate.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, in a minute, we're all going to start just dry heaving and retching and shrieking, oh, God, why? And I wanted the people listening to know why. Yeah.
All right.
We've reached fart humor.
Did you find the caster kill thing?
Oh, I feel like for us, fart humor is reaching up.
Oh my God. I look over I look over at the computer, and Andy has the steamroller. He has the hardcore thing up, and I look at it, and he just clicks the X. And I'm like, well, did you see? Oh, no. Why would I check the thing that I just spent 5 minutes bringing up to check?
All right, let's talk about the cool thing.
Can we move on, really, please?
Yeah, okay, seriously. Fine. So, timestamp 38 and 36 seconds. We are now moving on to our next topic.
My God, that fucking stinks.
The topic?
Is that
all
my
right.
topic?
No, fine. No. So, at 38:48, we'll move on to the next topic, which is I'm actually writing both of those timestamps down. Like, my trolling is actually happening in real life.
Did you write down the timestamp?
I wrote
his
down
fart?
The 38:36 for that stinks.
It was the. The timestamp for the fart, and then the timestamp for when it traveled.
We'll have to go. We'll find the timestamp for the fart.
Why does anyone listen to us ever?
We can work out the speed at which your farts travel.
Well, but it traveled that way, which I'm pretty excited
about. The air circulation.
If I had a genie with wishes, my first wish would be that for the rest of time, farts were visible for everyone, not just me. I want farts to actually be like a green cloud, like in the cartoons, because that would just revolutionize society.
Like the parents that tell their kids when they're going to the public pool, they're like, now if you pee in the pool, they put a special chemical in the water that if you pee, it turns the water purple, so everyone will know you did it.
Which I believed until like a year ago, when I found out that's not true.
I thought it was true.
It's totally not true. There's no chemical.
Nope.
I thought some pools did it and some pools didn't.
Nope. No? What? Did you, like, do a little, like, you just squeezed out a little to check first, and you're like, oh, it didn't change.
No, like, I can't pee in open water because of that. Like, I've swam in lakes and stuff my whole life. I have to get out of the water, go to the bathroom,
Katie,
and then
come back.
Did
you know the word gullible is written on the ceiling?
Shut up. I'm going to write the word gullible on the ceiling.
I don't even pee in the
days.
Shower.
I only pee in your shower.
Yeah, same here.
I go to your house for these rest. I just walk in the shower, pee, and come back out.
Like, I'll be downstairs on the computer, and he just comes running past. Oh, gotta go.
Be in the shower, taking a cold shower. It's like, oh, it's warm all of a sudden.
Oh.
Well, it was really awkward the time Andy was getting ready for work, and you just ran in.
All right, seriously.
All right, so 40:35, we are moving on to the cipher, the cool, I don't give two shits about the stuff inside of it, the back cover
of, no
of the most recent No Quarter, No
yes.
Quarter 46. All right.
We expected you to actually say something.
At 40:52. 40:52, we are moving on to discussing the back cover. 40:35 was telling you the next topic. 40:52 is actually talking about
the
next
topic. We were stunned
by
the amazing silence. You don't give me one of those things.
All right, so talk about it.
About the chocolate?
Also yeah, that.
More. All right, one more chocolate, Katie. You got
chocolate.
It.
Nothing's better than eating chocolate while podcasting.
Yeah.
So,
it's got cherries in it.
No Quarter of 46, the back cover,
yeah.
They had...
People keep ruining my...
You don't like cherries?
Well, first,
you said you don't like dark chocolate. These
I don't
dark
mind
chocolate.
Dark chocolate. I was going to eat the dark chocolate and say whatever. Now there's a cherry. Fuck it.
Sorry, we're shoving our candy on you, Cardi.
Should I put mint in it and then see
well,
what
then
happens?
It'll come out faster than it went in.
Yeah.
That's what she said. What?
Jesus.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
At 41:43, we are moving on for the fourth time to No Quarter 46's back cover.
Yes.
So
speculation.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Rampant speculation incoming.
Nothing we're about. Okay, so here, I'll say the facts.
It's
on
a juicy
the back
cherry.
Cover.
Yeah, we weren't expecting that. It tastes like. I don't know what
it tastes like happening? A dark chocolate covered cherry. You
oh my god.
It.
This is a terrible mistake.
No, I'll eat the rest of that.
Oh, what? I don't want secondhand chocolate covered cherries, really? Oh, wow, that's what we've sunk to?
They're sunk too. That's where I've been in my entire life.
Chocolate covered cherries. As long as it's anyway.
He didn't spit it out. He just
bit the top off. This part never went in his mouth.
Oh jeez.
It's not like it's ABC gum or something.
So there's runes and things. I swear to God, that's where we're going with this.
So it is the back cover, No Quarter 46. There are runes on the back that are not from one of the languages of the currently existing factions. People have translated it because it is a simple letter substitute cipher. Or
what
at least,
language was it in?
Fake.
But how do they translate it then?
New Fakestein.
Have you ever heard of cryptograms?
It was a cryptogram style. It's a simple like letter replacement where the same rune always shows up for the same letter, and the words themselves aren't scrambled. So assuming that is true, which it probably is because it came out with readable English, the runes on the back translate to iterative successes converge toward our inevitable victory. So a lot of people have jumped to assumptions with various degrees of support that what the fuck
they're arguing about whether the candy was delicious. Move on.
Okay, I just look at like my anyway, yes. So thing is Cirrus. There, done.
Yes.
No, so probably new faction is what people are hoping / thinking. Yep. Especially since Privateer Press said they're gonna have a big announcement on Friday at the TempleCon. Is that what
kind
of happening?
TempleCon.
So people are hoping it's a new faction. Based on the fluff descriptions of the current league, people are guessing it's either Infernals or the Cult of Cirrus.
And you read what it says. Like, from what it says, that sounds Cirrus-y from what little Cirrus-y you guys explained to me before the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say, boy, I sure like gears and stuff. But short of that.
It's...
I like timepieces.
Let me see it.
Timepieces are awesome. But yeah, it sounds pretty Cirrus-y. And something you didn't mention, but you said before the podcast was the last time they did something like this was when they introduced Hordes, they did something like this.
Yeah.
When they introduced Wrath, you can
turn back a couple issues. There's that there's a colossal damage grid on the back of a No Quarter where it had the left and right grid just like overlapped, so there was kind of like weird 3D effect. And
that was when
then
they had
colossals
the super
were announced
structures and all that too. Everyone was like, what the hell is that?
What
the
hell is
mean?
An S? Yep.
No, the keynote is actually happening February 1st. Mm-hmm. Over at TempleCon, I think.
Yes.
It shows here at 10 a.m. Eastern. So for your Central Time, guys, that's 9.
Which is nice because normally all the Privateer announcements are like, on the West Coast time. So we usually get things early.
Yeah, they're like 9 o'clock at night West Coast time. It's like, seriously?
Yep. I'm going to be up at 11.
I'm going to be out at the bars.
Yep.
When was the last time that they introduced...
Retribution.
Well, I know, but when was that?
Right at the end of Mark 1?
So a few years back now.
Yep.
Like, time flies. If you don't count Minions,
Minions came out with the first Domination mode, wasn't it? No.
The Minions were in the very first Primal.
Minion Warlocks. Oh, yes. Minion actual contracts, the packs, the playable Warlocks,
all that stuff. That was last Thursday.
Yeah, that was last Thursday that they rolled those out.
Sure. Amazing.
Oh, look, this doodle looks
like
a TIE
fighter. Oh,
you
already have a fully painted force of them, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thursday?
He pays people really well to paint things for him.
TIE fighter.
Yeah, I accidentally drew a TIE fighter and a frowny face, and it says van next to it. I have no clue what I'm writing constantly. Is this a hamburger I drew? Anyway,
can you draw me not eating that chocolate covered cherry? Yeah. That taste is still lingering in my
mouth. You knew you didn't like either of those things. Like, these are two things you hate. One of them is covered in the other, and you're like, I'll eat it.
I thought they would counter each other out. I just have this, like, this.
You know,
the bottom of my mouth is just like, ugh.
So,
why don't you get poo wrapped
in vomit. Well, I mean, maybe they'll counter each other out.
He was taking the best advice I ever received from my father. All right, so this is my father. Drops me off for college. He says, I'm going to just tell you one thing. Here's your advice for college. Actually, two things, but the other one was college specific. Try anything twice. You might have been nervous the first time. Bye. Have fun at college. That was my dad's advice to me to drop me off at school.
And now you drive a Mini Cooper and drink mojitos.
God damn it.
So you apparently will try anything twice.
Yep, definitely. He's tried everything.
He was nervous that first time. But
really opened up afterwards.
You did.
Oh,
well, path was clear.
Terrible. Oh, I'm going to fart again just to pay you all back for that.
It really tastes better than this chocolate.
So word of advice to everybody who sees Brian at cons, get him some chocolates.
Specifically
mint.
Dark chocolate.
Or mints. He loves dark chocolate covered mint.
Yeah. So like Andy's
mint
dark chocolate.
Mint M&M's are really his favorite.
The mint patties, the peppermint panties.
Really, but the best thing is to tell him that it's, something else.
Aren't being
tell
honest.
Him milk chocolate, peanut butter.
You eat
peppermints all the time, though.
I like mint by itself.
You don't like it in M&M form.
Or especially ice cream mint M&M would be like the most terrible thing in the world to me.
What kind of human being doesn't like mint chocolate chip ice cream?
Oh, yeah. They, actually,
see, the problem is, you said what kind of human being?
Oh, yeah, the problem is it has flavor. Yeah. And
no,
Brian's
here's
like,
the problem with mint chocolate chip ice cream is
it's
the
delicious?
Little chocolate pieces are not good.
Well, they're chocolate.
They're delicious?
No, but yeah. They're not. There's something off about them. I don't
know
what it
everything,
is.
Like everything about it.
It's not, yeah, it's
that
not
was
good.
Actually, top five.
I used to really like it, but then the more I had that chocolate, I was like, ah, this isn't any good.
Ice cream. Yeah.
That was one of my things as a roommate of Brian's for so long, to not have him eat my ice cream, I would get mint chocolate chip.
Hey, it's slays
and peeing instead.
Mint chocolate chip, butter pecan, rocky road, and good old fashioned all natural vanilla. Those
oh,
are the,
French
those
what
are
about,
the four.
What
well,
about
yeah,
French.
I prefer vanilla, but when I'm feeling crazy, I go to the French vanilla. That's
like
when I'm
tracks.
Really.
They have homemade vanilla from Breyers.
Do you
Breyers?
Surrender to the French vanilla?
Or five. Ice cream.
Oh, yeah, five.
It's like that's five ingredients. It's delicious.
Vanilla, and French vanilla?
I don't yes. like moose Cookie tracks. Dough? For the same reason I don't like 90% of Ben & Jerry's ice cream. There's too much shit going on in there.
No, there's not. There's just chocolate and peanut butter and vanilla.
No, there's like peanut shit. Butter cups in there and stuff. Like, I don't need that. Like, I ain't got time for that to be all needy here.
It's got
like,
one more ingredient than mint chocolate chip.
No, that has mint and chocolate chips. That's two ingredients.
Then it has
this has
the
like
exact...
whole peanut butter cups, and it's got like the ribbons of crap over here, and there's like some other thing. And it's
no,
like...
it's chocolate, peanut butter cups, and vanilla. Those are the ingredients in moose tracks.
Also, it's like moose poop.
Yeah, it's delicious.
You're doing terrible on time, by the way.
People. Yeah, we should probably get on to it.
A moose pooped in my uncle's car once.
So we're very excited for the February 1st announcement. All
yes.
I'm sure everyone will hear about it, well, before our next podcast, cause, but anyway.
Well, the other random assumption is it'll probably be Hordes, because currently Hordes has one less faction, and that's it. There. Yeah. I got it all out there.
Excellent. Moving on. Hey, I bet Katie has a corner.
Katie's Corner.
Hold on.
Wait, timestamp.
At 49:13, we are moving on to Katie's Corner.
So this week I want to talk about kibitzing, and it's something that I'm guilty of, and it's something that my husband is very guilty of.
No.
and why sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not so fun.
You should probably explain what kibitzing is.
So kibitzing is when you're playing a game with whoever, and then Brian comes up to the table and is like...
Only Brian. You look it up in the dictionary.
You know, of all the people in our play group who do that, I'm probably the one who does it the least completely. I'll be like the last person who does it.
But anyway, Brian's like, hey, you
Katie,
know if
Katie,
you do
you're
this.
Not doing your corner right. You should do your corner in a better way. I'm giving you this advice. See, this is a demonstration.
It is a demonstration. And you get advice like that even after you already did the thing that the person told you to do. Or like you're like, oh man, I hope my opponent doesn't see X. And then Jeremy walks up and he's like, hey, do you know that they're doing that? And so
I call that playing a gym.
Jim does do that.
And so it ruins the game between the two people. During casual games, it's not that big of a deal. One of the things that really annoys me during casual games is when it's my turn, the person I'm playing against will start talking to the other person, and then when I'm like, hey, I'm going to attack whatever, I feel like they're not actually listening to me. And
stop socializing and play this game!
Yeah. I'm not here to socialize.
Yeah, right? I never going to have to socialize.
Yeah, shit
are.
To do.
But where was the most difficult not to do it was the first Mayhem Cup I went to. Especially when you see people playing like scenarios wrong or something that they should really be aware of, and you can't say anything. So the best thing is to go get a judge.
Yeah,
and,
usually.
Yeah, and point it out to them.
Yeah,
that's the best way. Is if you see a scenario or an actual something physically being played incredibly wrong, like at this one tournament at the last square that we just had, I just witnessed somebody moving, somebody TK'd Doomshaper, and then he decided he's going to move Mulg as protective fit from a TK, which is it's not legal at all. And his opponent did not know that at all. Yeah. The guy who did the TK, and you know, something that's completely wrong. But when you're giving away a tactic, that's something you should stay quiet about.
Right.
But
there's a difference between like wrong, like you're misunderstanding, like illegal versus just incorrect. You know what I mean? Like for example, like to bring it back to what Jeremy was talking about before. Like if somebody's walking past the table and let's say Jeremy hadn't forgotten and his opponent is putting everything in that same zone to score process elimination a second time. If somebody walking by the table is just like, hey dude, you know you can't score the same zone twice, right? And then just keeps walking.
Yeah, that's wrong.
The guy's playing the scenario wrong, but like once he scores, it says, I score again, and like if Jimmy's like, oh, I guess you do, then it's different to go, no, remember, you can only score the same zone once. You guys, your game's not over.
Right.
That's different.
Right. Correct.
And it's hard, because sometimes you want to, like,
especially as a judge, it's hard.
Well, the thing is, if you're not the judge, because you always kind of want the judge to be the one who steps in, but you know if you don't say something, they're going to start picking up models because the game is over. So you can be like, okay, hold on, I need to get a judge because you guys are dumb. Well, which is not exactly.
That's exactly how you would say it.
Exactly. But I mean, because people don't want some of this random guy butting and saying, ha, you actually didn't win, but you want the judge to do it, but yet, at some point you have to have some, you know. If they're doing a thing like that, that example is difficult because it's like, because the game is over, you know they're going to pick up models right after it. So
yeah, I point out a legal play, that's morally less nebulous or less – no, that is more nebulous. It's morally less wrong than I think the bigger threat that Katie's talking about is, like, just come by and she's just like, hey, don't forget those Bane Thralls have stealth. Like, right is like, okay, I'm going to shoot with such and such – I'm activating my Nis Hunters. And then somebody's like, remember, her Bane Thralls have stealth. If I forgot and I fuck myself out of all my Nis shots, that's my own fault.
Yeah, you mean the first one shoots and you keep shooting and you keep forgetting every shot?
Well, I mean, they've already finished moving, right?
Well,
so, like, if I aim with all my Nis, I'm like, oh, my Nis are activated, and I should probably aim. Don't forget they got stealth. Oh, right, I guess I'll walk forward now.
Yeah.
Like, that's – don't do that.
Yeah. Well, and the one that I've seen it the most at tournaments is when people are playing the scenarios wrong. That's where you go and you get the – that's the one I've seen the most happen.
Yeah.
Because usually people are good at tournaments. They don't say anything.
If they're literally breaking the rules, then getting a judge or something is definitely the right answer. Especially at a casual game, if they're just doing something stupid, you don't interrupt in the middle to tell them what they're doing wrong, and you don't tell their opponent what they're doing wrong. And, like, it's harder at a casual game because in a tournament, we all have a game going on for the most part. And if you're, like, one of the last two games going, then everyone's going to come to your table. Yes, that happens. But casual play, there's probably four or five people just wandering around watching because it's just casual. We're just hanging out. And so you're sitting there watching and you're like, oh, you should do X, Y, or Z. Well, A, the person that's playing doesn't learn crap because you're playing the game for them. And B, you're pissing off their opponent because now their opponent is playing 2v1 and that's not a lot of fun.
Or also, like, again, like if I was about to aim with my Nis and somebody comes and says, hey, Bane Thralls have stealth, like, I'm always torn because I'm like, man, well, now what do I do? I legitimately was about to not move up.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of torn. Like, obviously I should move up and shoot because now you reminded me they have stealth, but now I just can't, you know? like it feels wrong.
Yeah.
You know, or even the other side, somebody comes by, I'm like, oh, man, oh, they're in Chromax threat range, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they are. I guess I'm going for it. I didn't think they were because I forgot blah, 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 but...
Or someone will walk by and you're like... This is something that Rhett, I've talked before. Rhett kills casters. Like, that's how we roll. Jim manages to play them differently, but I think, in general, Rhett's very good at killing casters and not as good at attrition. If I'm playing against somebody and somebody walks by and, like, they've moved all their models except their caster, and I'm like, oh, man, I got this game solid one, and somebody's like, don't forget Osorian's feet. All of a sudden, their caster's 6 inches back, and I'm straight effed. And it's just like, you asshole. Like...
Well, the win doesn't feel legitimate either, but I mean, the same thing as what you're saying, is if at the end of the day you win because they reminded you of that, it's like, that's not really...
Right.
Like, I can't count that.
So yeah. I guess what we're all trying to say, though, too, is if you are done with your game, and if you're just watching around, observe, don't make, like, any kind of weird contacts. Just watch the game.
Yeah. And in a tournament, it's illegal to be giving advice, FYI.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop people.
It doesn't stop people, but FYI, it really is against the rules to be giving advice to someone while they're playing.
My other favorite thing is when you're, like, if you're in a finals game, like, one good example that happened to me, it was when I was in Daikon, I was fighting, what's his name, the guy that plays.
Yeah, that guy.
That one guy in the finals that, you know, he's a good player, I just can't think of his name.
Sure.
You know. He actually made
it. So it wasn't Fat Asian.
No. It was Josh Russell, actually. I was just being silly. He attacks with his, he actually does like a range attack with his Journeyman Warcaster. And he rolls, he's like, well, my rat's this. And I think he says his rat's five, rolls the dice, and he hits. And exactly. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't know what the Journeyman's Warcaster's rat stat is.
It's not five.
And someone all of a sudden someone like whispers to the judge and he checks the card and he was wrong. Like, I never would have caught it. And the bystander didn't shout out or anything. He just, like, you know, got the judge's attention, because I mean, that would have, I don't know how critical that was on the game, but it was interesting. That was like a good example.
That was the correct thing to do.
Yes. Well, yeah, you see something wrong going on. Well, yeah. Yeah, if you see something, get a judge if you can.
What also happens a lot, and especially at finals tables, you know, and I may have been guilty of this when Andy and Brian were at a finals table in Milwaukee in Adventure So Back, is even you're not directly kibitzing, even if you don't say anything to the table, when you and like 7 or 8 of your buddies, or, you know, the last game of the rounds being played, and you got this mob of people all leaning over the table, and like somebody goes to touch them on and go to move them, and all the people like lean together and whisper. And then the person goes like, I'm gonna declare a ranged attack. Oh, whisper. Like, that's just as bad. You know, like the big one that I was guilty of that at that time was Andy. Like, there, we were playing 2013, casters can't contest, there was a scenario point in the zone that had to be killed, because the scenario point was contesting the zone, the caster was not.
The objective, and the objective, scenario point.
There was an objective inside of a zone, and then the Brian's caster was also in the zone. And those were the two things Brian had in the zone, and Andy needed to score it to win. So Andy, instead of just punching the objective to death with his Earthborn, he starts to try and do like a two-handed throw to throw Brian's caster out of the zone, because 2012 and whatnot, casters contested, so he wanted that guy out. And so I'm like, I turn to somebody else and I shrug and make a confused face, and I look at the game, and I turn to the other guy, and I'm like, I whisper to the other guy, like, casters can't contest, right? Like, he doesn't need to do that. Well, so in corner of Andy's eyes, he just sees me doing all this, like, you know, shrugging and gestures and confused face, which of course is distracting as all hell to him.
And very, your gestures are very helpful for the listeners.
Yeah, well, it was to add verisimilitude to my performance. You know, if I don't gesture here in real life, I won't get across tonally how the gestures work.
Plus, I enjoy watching you gesture.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's like I can't speak words.
That I heard in the director's commentary track to the Batman the Animated Series DVDs that's one reason that Mark Hamill's performance as the Joker was so good, is that he didn't just sit down. He would actually jump out and jump around and gesticulate.
I've heard that too.
And he is the best Joker.
He did a good job.
Fuck Heath Ledger. Second best.
I like
tops.
Heath Ledger.
Second best Joker. Maybe third. Jack Nicholson is awesome.
I would argue hands down Heath Ledger is better.
Heath Ledger is better than Nicholson. But, you know, tastes vary. Some people like dark chocolate covered cherries. Some spit them out.
Some people are wrong.
Yeah. But, no, like, so there you go. I gesture for verisimilitude. Also a good word.
Did we railroad you, or did you get out what you wanted for
No, I mean, it's a pretty simple topic this time. We're all guilty of it, especially in casual games.
It's super valuable, though. Like, I'm not dissing it.
I'm leaning away from Brian because now 40% of this cast has farted.
I don't know what you mean.
You leaned away. You aimed at it, you son of a bitch.
That's half of the dark chocolate I ate.
You son of a bitch. God, how do we get worse every episode?
Well, I don't
less professional.
But
like,
to be
three
fair,
episodes
Katie
now
has
we're
a
just
fanboy.
Gonna be flinging poo like
so
monkeys.
She must be cool at least.
Our 100th episode is just a picture. It's just going to be a video cast of an ass.
Will you care whose ass it was and why it was farting?
I apologize, but to go back on topic for just a second. One thing I like at some top tables, when you see some of the top players watching the top players, you'll see them texting each other because they know you shouldn't be committing, and they're pretty good. Like, when I'm playing my opponent, if I see them making a mistake, I'm very good at a poker face. Mm-hmm. But when I'm watching the top table, sometimes you'll just see like a bunch of people just texting. They're just texting back and forth because they don't want to say what.
That's a really good idea.
They're like, why is he doing that stupid thing? But at least because they're texting, it's not as visual.
I use Semaphore.
Yeah, I mean, you can give away.
That's the flag holding thing they do on boats.
He read a dictionary earlier. He's throwing out a lot of big words.
I use
today.
Verisimilitude in my Semaphore.
Every time you use a big word, we have to fart.
I got this one.
I'm going to grab a thesaurus.
So,
we're so sad.
That's the other thing. I mean, there's so many things you give away that aren't even game rules. Like, if everyone else is done, and all the rest of us are well aware that it's probably right near the end of the round because there's one table left playing, guess what's probably about to happen? Dice down. When you're that one table, and maybe this isn't true for everybody, but for me, I don't notice that 18 other tables have finished playing because I'm still goddamn focused on my game. And then somebody makes, like, even just the fact that there's 30 people watching my game sinks in, and I'm like, oh, crap, it must be about to be diced down.
Well, along those lines, here's a piece of advice to you TOs or EOs or whatever you want to call them.
God.
When there's one table left and there's a minute left, don't stand there staring at your phone leaning over one of the players. Like,
yeah, that's really yeah. obvious.
I love to do it when there's 10 minutes left. I just like start staring at the clock and there's 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I just wander away. Come back in 5 minutes, do it again.
Yeah.
Somebody, that's my personal
that was,
favorite.
That was
TO
that
maneuver.
Same tournament, too.
Well, no, that happens all the time.
That happens
all the time. And like, you know, I'm sure I've done it. Like, oh, there's a minute left. I'll just wander over and see how things are going. So here I am standing over the table staring at the clock in my hand. Like, that's kind of a tip-off to the person whose turn it is that they need to worry about dice down.
They've got to know. Because one time I was playing a game, and it was trying to decide between whether I buy more attacks or boost an attack, because it was, like, right at that -3 spot. And there were, like, 4 people watching my game. I was like, I should just boost the damage
rolls.
Look
at you, pro player, knowing about the -3 sweet spot.
I know.
Yeah.
Can be taught. But, yeah, I mean, that gave me the... Like, I know that I need to hurry this up because it might be diced down soon if there are this many people watching my game.
But that's to your own.
Well, it's to my advantage. It's to my opponent's detriment.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Basically, you seeing everybody around you, that's not them telling you what
to
do.
Yeah, that's not their fault.
That's coming up with your own conclusion.
That's you being smart, as opposed to when the TO is standing there next to your table with his clock, his phone out, and he's staring at it. That's the TO being dumb.
Make sure
you
enunciate the L when you say he has his clock out.
Jeremy was talking about
Beanish is running events again?
Beanish and Gargathor are running an event.
I need to go to these events.
Yeah. No, you don't.
There's a docking prize.
Yeah, seriously. You're not eligible.
Just because of the Chinese finger trap.
See, now I feel like this is being sexist if I'm not eligible. There are ways for me to get around that.
You have a station to dock in.
You can demonstrate it when we have a video podcast.
Oh, God.
The world wants to know.
And again, my mother can't listen to this podcast.
You get a turtleneck.
That's what's happening on your that's part of your birthday party coming up.
Okay,
you want to talk about our party on our podcast?
Your mom can only not listen to this podcast if she knows what docking is.
See, the problem is that my mother's one of those people that'll listen to something on the internet and be like, "Oh, I don't know what that word is. I'm gonna Google it."
Mm. Well, but she might just see a ship pulling into a port.
Oh, yeah. She might.
That's a different video.
Well, here's the other thing. God help us all.
Don't get
oh
out
my god, he's. Is safe search on?
Like I mentioned,
that's gonna change
I
results.
Mentioned a dog in a bathtub to your wife.
To my wife.
And she immediately was like, I need to Google that.
Nope. It says of a ship. Tie up to a
dock.
Do
you have safe search on?
Switch to images and turn
no,
safe
but,
search
but
on.
The next one is the Urban Dictionary. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, yeah.
Safe, Google changed their search now. You have to like try really hard to get dirty pictures to come up. Like,
it's not that hard.
It's annoying.
It's really not that hard.
No, because you can't just like turn safe search off and just say like Megan Fox and then get like Megan Fox boob pictures. You have to put in keywords, otherwise it still doesn't look. You're like, if you just say, you know, I'll switch because she hasn't done nude scenes. Trust me, I've looked. But, like, if you're like Angelina Jolie and you type in Angelina Jolie, it's just going to show her with clothes on. You have to be like nude, naked, tits
on?
Out. Well, like, and the, like, red carpet at, like, the
oh,
Oscar
right,
stuff.
Right,
but,
okay.
But you have to... Is here. That a butt on the top?
Then that's got to be, like, an apple.
I did a search for dirty pictures, and that's what I got.
It caught me, because it looked like a apple. Butt, but it's an apple, and I read the... It actually specifically is calling me out for thinking it was a butt. It's like a dirty... It's a motivator, and it's telling me I have a dirty mind.
Which is true story.
That looks like a butt. I would have sex with that apple.
A huge rectal area.
And welcome back to episode 8. We accidentally hit the stop button on a recorder.
Well, and edit out all the...
And we had to edit out nothing.
No,
nothing
we didn't edit out anything.
Nope, nothing at all.
We never
we did not mention
out.
Terrible
just,
things.
No, I have to admit, I told where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. I'm sorry. We're not supposed to talk
sorry,
about
Sorry, Jordan.
That.
We didn't mean to mention that either.
Jordan.
Well, the other thing. I mean, there was a Jimmy Hoffa thing, and then there was the whole Jordan banana thing.
No, we didn't mention Jordan the banana at all. Wink, wink.
All
so
right.
Jordan doesn't listen to this. He had sex with a banana.
It's just not.
Well,
what if his girlfriend listens to it?
Yeah, you know, we told his girlfriend today
the way you think.
That we're on a podcast. So if she goes to listen to the podcast, this will be her introduction to the guy she's dating.
Well, she
twice.
Should know he likes bananas in his ass. I mean, it's an important thing to know.
It's not true.
It's true because he didn't. It's the other way. He had sex into the banana.
Oh, all right. Oh, jeez.
Who hasn't done that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's perfectly normal.
So he hollowed out the banana and then it
No. You just go for it.
You make your own
apple pie style.
Yeah.
All
right. Good
apple
to know.
Pie style. I'll demonstrate on the video podcast.
Okay. This is going to be a very long video podcast.
All right.
Very long. Oh, shit.
No, I just mean like.
Wow. That's the first time he's ever heard that before.
Well, just
first time
she got
to say it was long.
God damn it.
You should have seen that one coming.
So, back from the edit.
an hour and 8 minutes. I don't know. Should the timestamp... Well, that timestamp's just going to be off because now there's a gap there. Yeah. So I'm just going to assume that gap was 6 minutes, and I'm going to say this is an hour and 2 minutes.
Just put the infinity
six
symbol.
6 minutes of okay, Jordan Banana infinity, ass
at infinity.
At infinity... we could move on from this topic of conversation.
To our last topic. Mercifully everyone's favorite. Enough.
Yeah. Well, because it always means we're almost done.
Exactly. Like, that's why it's my favorite.
Words.
That's actually recommendations, not words.
Recommendations are
maybe
words.
Maybe we're recommending
usually.
Words.
That was my recommendation.
Was words.
I recommend words.
I apologize.
You've been using words today.
Verisimilitude. Phantasmagoric. I said autodidacticism to somebody the other day, and she was all like, what? And I'm like, isn't that a word everybody knows? And apparently that's just
it's
the kind
really
of person
not.
I am, where I know
I
these
don't
words.
Know that word.
That's the sort of word that makes it into a word-a-day calendar.
You know those kind of words you can't do, like, standard normal things. So
like two
it's
plus
kind
two.
Of like your, yeah.
Exactly. And I can't, what is super annoying is that I have no clue to spell, like, my vocabulary is pretty big and convoluted. Like, I honestly will say things like autodidacticism in day-to-day conversation because sure. That's how my brain works.
Still don't know what it means.
Self-taught. Or okay. Self-teaching. Autodidactic is self-taught. Autodidacticism is self-teaching. Which I think
yourself.
Would be interesting if, like, to see what would it would be horrible and monstrous and unethical, but to see what happened if somebody literally had zero teaching and had to figure out the entire world on their own.
I think they'd live a year.
Well, you know.
I don't know. I think that people are a lot smarter than you give them credit for.
I think that
for.
Someone's playing the bubble game while we're trying to podcast.
No, but I'm listening, and I am involved in this conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. It's frustrating. I can't spell dick, though. Like I mean D-I-C-K. That almost literally. D-I-C-K. I almost literally. No, D-I-K. It was the production company that did Inspector Gadget.
You're usually not
as a kid, I thought it was. I would always giggle. He'd come out and say dick on the TV. I was like, his hammerhead.
But they say it. There's a little girl that says dick.
Dick. But I mean, maybe she's French. She's like, dick. I love the dick.
Wow.
Maybe.
May we, the dick.
Welcome to Nathan Hoffman's Word a Day calendar. Dick and autodidacticism.
Yeah.
They're on
those
the same
are the only
category.
Two words you need to know. I had a point. I was honestly working towards a point when I started that.
Yeah,
now I can't remember what it was.
You were going to recommend words.
No. I don't know. Come back to me.
All right.
Strong start.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad starts, hey, Jeremy, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is actually, and I don't think I've recommended this before, but it's possible I did, the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan.
I thought you did that last week.
You did that last week.
I did it last week?
Yeah.
God damn it. All right,
also,
come back to me,
Jesus
too.
He didn't. Wait,
I swear I did it last week, but I guess I did.
You recommended. I recommended a book series. You recommended AAA.
If you've
yeah,
already,
I recommended AAA last time.
If you've
I
mean, already
we did
read,
talk about Robert
we
Jordan.
We talked about
that. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to recommend it, because it
but
hasn't actually been recommended.
But it's awful.
No, it's really not. I really, really
I think
like
you're
it.
You're cheating.
What?
Yeah,
you're taking a sub-recommendation from somebody else.
I brought it up last time, goddammit.
Well, then you're taking a sub-recommendation from yourself.
All right, come back to me. I'll come up with something else.
Jeez.
Well, I'll do two recommendations.
All
left.
All
you
just,
never have recommendations.
Well, Andy, what's your recommendation?
Simple Green. I just saw it. It's right there on the show.
I love how our recommendations, if you look around the room.
You sons of bitches. You've had a week. You've had a week since the last podcast.
I have mine
days.
All picked
out. I received no notification we were going to do the podcast today.
I asked on
until
the little
this,
thing.
This afternoon.
Yeah,
we've only done it at the same time almost every podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Don't. Well, let's let Crybaby recommend his crappy books. Back to you.
They're not like okay. So I understand
two or three of them are good.
The first two or three are amazing,
and then they suck.
No,
and then now it's going to end. So thank
book
God.
Book four is slow going, but you know what? Lots of really great book series have some slow going in the middle. I don't know if you've ever read Lord of the Rings.
It's not 12 fucking books long.
It's
and,
not.
And it has
it's not
a
like,
point.
It's not like seven chapters of a guy getting on a horse.
No, it's three chapters of a hill.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lord of the Rings. I love it, but there are parts. Especially in Return of the King, there are some parts that I'm like, oh my god, I want to shoot myself. Why is there 20 pages of what's going on right now still going on? Like, there just is. And the same, like, that's book four of Wheel of Time. And then he's like, oh right, I'm writing books people enjoy reading, and then book five and on is back to good stuff. And then he got super sick, and so he took tons and tons of notes and then died. And then somebody else took over and wrote books 10, 11, and 12. And while I'm not one of those people that'll say that books 10, 11, and 12 are the best books, they are really, really good. Like, the guy that took over for him did a really, really good job. It still feels like the same
world.
I thought
he wrote 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, like, I think there were 11 books.
Yeah,
he
did 12, 13, 14.
That's right, there were going to be 12, and he turned 12 into two books.
Yes.
And he was going to write 11. He was going to write whatever. 12.
Well, the series was too short. It needed to be expanded upon.
To be fair, and he had a good point, the notes that had been left for him by the original author were too much to fit in a book. They just were. So he made it two rather than a 2,000-page tome.
Another way to say that is cha-ching.
Yeah. But I've heard that those books are good.
They're legitimate. Like, I'm reading the Dresden books that you recommended. I really enjoy them. Yeah. I really enjoyed Wheel of Time. The finale book that just came out, I just finished reading it, and it was one of the better conclusions to a series I've ever read. Like, it was just really good. And part of it is, and this is something that he said from the very, very beginning, Robert Jordan did, is when he started writing book one, he had already written the very end of the story. Like, he'd pre-written how it ended. He didn't know what happened between book one and the end. He knew he wanted it to be at least 10 books long, and he didn't know what happened in the middle, but he knew how it started, he knew how it ended.
That ending
was amazing.
It's just, I don't know, it seems to me that they were, because I tried reading them. I mean, it seems to me, and along those lines, is the knowing where it starts, knowing where it ends. It's like when you see those fails on the internet where it shows Google Maps taking you from Chicago to Milwaukee via the Southern Hemisphere somehow, and it's like, you could have done it faster. You could have done it more succinct.
And he could have, but the thing is, and the thing that I like about his books is there are easily 200 characters that in another book would be considered a main character. And for him, it's just like, it's a character, and so they have this huge amount of detail to them. And there's a huge number of plots going on. And so it does take a lot to kind of tease those plots along while introducing new plots in each book. And the problem with, it was either book 4 or 5, I think it was 4. The problem with 4 is it's mostly all about one single plot, and that's why it drags. All of the other ones, they're long books, and what you're doing is the whole time you're like, oh man, there's like these 50 other plots. I'm reading this one, this is exciting. Oh man, this one's exciting. Oh right, I forgot about that plot. And
so it's like a buffet, you know, get all these little tidbits and bites.
And it's fantastic. Like there's certain points where literally the only part of a given plot that you'll read for 500 pages is you get like two paragraphs. And then it just moves on. And you're like, the fuck? Really? Like it's like, and then he woke up in a cell, moving on to a different plot. You're like, what? Like, I really like that he does that. It's something I like about Tom Clancy, that he has a bunch of interweaving plots. It's why I like the Harry Potter books better than the movies, because there's much more plots to them, and they had to drop things for the movies.
Well, books are always better, but yeah. Anyway.
True. But, like, Harry Potter specifically, I felt like, was, like, lots of plots, and then they were like, we're going to make a movie about one. And they did the one plot really well, but...
Hilarious about the Harry Potter movies is that since the movies were coming out before the book series was finished, they weren't sure what had to be dropped and what had to be kept.
Right.
So, like, they kept Rita Skeeter in, who's completely useless, and she eats up, like, a half hour of screen time in the fourth movie and ruins the fourth movie.
Yep.
And meanwhile, they tried to drop Creature, and and Rowling's like, I'm not going to give you details. You need that guy in the films. Yeah. He seems useless now. He's important later.
Yeah.
So that was amusing to me.
So anyway, that's my recommendation. I know we've talked about it before, and I know I just talked about it a lot, but...
I may read it someday. It's on my I-should-read list. I need to bump it
up. I own them all, so feel free to borrow them.
Well, I only read digital books now because I'm a snob.
Oh, right, because you're... Yeah.
He doesn't like things that aren't current technology.
Yeah, if there's books. You're right. I can't really...
If I'm going to the space station, then I want everything digital. Otherwise, I really enjoy the feel of an actual book.
I look forward to, like, 10 years from now if you still will play StarCraft the board game, because it won't be, like, the new technology.
If there's a digital version of it, that'd be pretty awesome.
I hear they're going to come out with a video game based on StarCraft, the board game.
That'd be amazing.
Kind of like when they came out with a board game of Words with Friends.
Oh, my fucking God.
My God. In only 10, 12 minutes, we managed one recommendation and three almost recommendations.
I have a recommendation. Woo-hoo! Nobody just...
You have one. We better hold that one off to our incompetent ones.
Little Miss has a fan club wants to talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One guy.
That's a fan club.
That's how I introduced myself.
That's a stalker.
By the way. Yeah. there's somebody out there who less than threes me. Yeah. Twice. No, I want to recommend art. Like, just in general. So,
Art.
Art, like,
Paul.
Pictures.
Art Paul, yeah. He's
No, just like,
wow, nobody outside of Madison's going to get that.
Who's Art Paul? I don't... Google him. Then I'm really sorry, though.
I'm Facebook friends with him.
I'm sorry.
Quit interrupting her.
Speaking of homeless people...
The internet needs to know about a homeless musician in Madison, Wisconsin.
No, they don't.
And that is art. I mean, it is related to your topic. Anyway, you have a topic
he
about
does
art.
He does art.
Anyway, I bought a picture while we were on the cruise, and it's just a print, so it's not anything special. But one of the things I did way back when is I decided I wanted a picture of a ballerina, which is a little bit girly. And so I found somebody at an art fair that was not well known and would paint it for fairly cheap. and then I could tell her exactly what I wanted. And every time I see it, I'm really excited about it because it's something that I picked out and I really like it. And it's like an actual painting as opposed to a poster. So I think it's worth, you know, saving up your $500 and finding somebody at an art fair and having them paint something for you. Because they pay for the frame, too. And the frame is like $200 or $100 on its own.
I can buy a print for like $30
though. Did you, well, I know, but it's not, cool. It's not
did
the same
did you change
thing.
It up a little bit? Did you ask them to, like, put a crocodile in there or something?
Well,
ballerina with a crocodile?
When I found her, she was painting them all sitting down. And, like, the thing that I like about ballerinas is they have those long, lean lines. And
me
that's
too.
What, that's what I wanted in my picture, and I couldn't find it. And so I told her what I wanted, and I sent her like several pictures of other things that people had done, and she did it for me, and it was really nice.
I get where you're coming from, because like, I visited my brother earlier in the year for a family reunion, and he was all excited. He had shown me his condo, and he said, look at this. I'm really excited about this. And it was the first ever actual painting with paint, you know, that he'd ever purchased. And he was like, look, I bought a piece of art, and yeah, it's on my wall. And he was super excited because there's just something cool about having that one-of-a-kind actual original right there.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be from anyone who's famous. I mean, obviously, I just picked somebody who was cheaper.
Yeah, which is still, you know, there's a realty to it. You know, there's a...
You have a homeless person paint me something that's real.
Sure.
Sure. That would be even cheaper.
It would be cheaper.
But then, like, when somebody comes over, you get it's a conversation piece, too.
It has a story to it.
It has a story to it, yeah. That's my recommendation. I think it's worth the investment. Because at the end of the day, if you get 5 years of enjoyment out of it, then I think it's
worth it. If you find me some art, my wall, because I'm you know, single, living alone, I don't put things on my walls because I'm a guy. So find me some art, I'll put it on my wall.
Okay. That's challenge accepted.
To anyone out there, just mail me art. I'll put it on my walls.
I'm going to pay Art Paul to just hang out at your place. He's like, I got art at my place.
I was going to say, you paid a crazy amount of money for a poster, a signed poster.
Oh,
by
I need to get a frame.
Yeah, you need to get that home. That thing's beautiful.
I need to get a nice frame. I got you
a nice frame for
you
that.
You got a frame for it that works, yeah, and keeps it safe. But I'm going to get like a nice like quality like you know woodish type yeah frame. That
framing's expensive.
It is, but you know I make money. I'm rolling.
I mean, considering what you paid for the thing in the first place.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, it's just...
It's a map of Imran, which is a kind of a supersized map of the entire continent, which even includes, like, the Scorn Empire and that whole part of the world, which is... And it's all signed by Private Press.
It's amazing looking.
Yep.
I got into a bidding war with people.
I almost jumped in. I wasn't even anywhere near, like, being able to get into winning, and I still almost jumped into the bidding war.
That
thing was amazing.
You.
I know you would have been.
If you dropped a grand, you would have won.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Well, I would have backed out at a grand.
Yeah.
But I was willing to take those people out. They were in for some trouble because I wasn't going to slow down.
Yeah.
You were borrowing money from the store.
I'm like, Ben, well, how much can I borrow from you? He gave me a limit. Okay, just keep that in mind. And I just kept raising the bid because I didn't have cash on me. I paid it back the next day, obviously, but it was just like, how much cash do you have?
Yep.
I need it.
Yeah, that was cool.
Cool. Well, as long as you're talking.
Crap.
You recommend crap.
Is that what you did in your pants?
I recommend not eating dark chocolate with cherries in them. It wasn't really a cherry. It was more like a liquid
thing.
Well,
it's a cordial.
It's a cherry cordial.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that means.
So it's got like a candied cherry and then like cream.
I thought like a cherry. You get like ice cream and they throw a cherry on there. I thought that was a cherry.
It's not a maraschino cherry. It's like an...
I thought there was like one type of cherry. I don't know if there's multiple cherries.
Ooh, have you been to the fruit section of a grocery store?
I walk through it to get to where the real food is.
Well, here, let me put it. This isn't ice cream cherry. This is cherry pie cherry.
Yes.
I've never had...
Those are two very different cherries. Yes. Like, even there you can see.
Oh, interesting. I've learned things.
Yeah. So this was chocolate-covered cherry pie filling, essentially.
Excellent. Amazing. Moving on. Next recommendation?
You didn't recommend...
You're not recommending...
That doesn't count.
All right. Well, I guess we've done this before. I will recommend something that's out of print because we've done it before. I will recommend, I will mention the StarCraft board game that I love. Literally my favorite board game. It is made by Fantasy Flight. It's literally based on the video game. And when you first hear that, you're like hesitant. Oh, it's based on a video game and now it's a board game. That's probably not good. But it's made by Fantasy Flight. And if there's one thing Fantasy Flight games does well is that they recreate what someone else does very well in a board game form. I mean, they capture the theme of games. They have, I could go on for a day about every game they make and why 80% of them are amazing.
Like Doom is a really good game.
Yeah,
for them.
Doom is really good. Although Descent fine tuned it, yeah, and a lot of Descent took off. But Doom's worth having.
I'm not talking about Doom right now, you motherfucker.
Gears of War.
Yes, the Gears of War is another game. Another board game that's amazing. But I don't care about that right now.
I enjoyed the description that you posted on Facebook. Gears of War.
Yes.
The board game on StarCraft. Yes. Speaking of the recommendation, it's a board game that plays like the video game in the regards that there's Protoss, there's a Zerg, there's a humans. As you
Terran.
The Terran. Oh yes, I apologize to all you Terrans out there.
I've always wondered what we'd be called if there were actual, like, if aliens came. Like, would we be called humans, Terrans?
Well, I don't know if you've seen Futurama. We'd clearly be called Earthicans.
Earthicans.
I think we'd be called dinner.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that too. I'm pretty sure that's the technical term for it. Or also screwed.
If we spread out to the other planets before they make contact, would we be like Solians or something? Because we're from the solar system?
Cockroaches.
Yes. Okay. Worm babies.
Yes.
That's an inside joke with a buddy. You're welcome, buddy. That's what they call the humans when they play Twilight Imperium 3rd Edition.
Isn't part of a solar system, right? Because it all revolves around the sun.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we call them all that, but like our sun's name is Sol. S-O-L. That's why we are the solar system. But then we use that same term generically to refer to other solar systems.
Correct.
So that just doesn't make sense. Like, it's like, oh, what America do you come from? England?
Yeah.
Like you can't. That just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fix that, astronomers, astrophysicists. And give me Pluto back, fuckers.
Yeah, I'm upset about that, too. Are we going to let him finish his recommendation?
StarCraft.
I'm just letting Nathan continue. He'll eventually run out of steam and take a nap.
And how do they spell the same shirt right and wrong at Famous Dave's?
Oh, somebody stop him.
We went over this last week, I feel like.
We did.
I don't know. Okay, I'm
going
to take a nap.
We're literally going backwards.
You recommend your game. I'm going to go seed in the corner.
All right. StarCraft, the board game, can be played between 3 and 6 players. 4 to 6 is really where the sweet spot comes in. If you're familiar with a lot of the space games, Twilight Imperium, Eclipse, this one is more in the 2 to 3 hour time frame to play the game. You basically get to, each player picks all these random planets in the first phase of the game as you design the universe, which is always kind of a fun, where do all these planets go and all this kind of stuff. And each player basically, you're all just trying to conquer parts of the galaxy. Without going over the game in full, the game is fun to me because it's a very aggressive game. If you're not fighting other players by turn 2, you've already lost the game. So it encourages aggression. That's always a fun mechanic in a game.
The one actual game mechanic that I think, you know, obviously you don't want to just read the whole rule book, but the order mechanic is the best part. Because the base thing is you place the orders in stacks on the planets, and everybody can place these orders in a stack. And then the stack is then executed from top down. So the first order placed in a stack is going to be the last order to happen. So there becomes this whole... The whole tactic is figuring out when you actually need your stuff to happen. In you know, if you want to move to some place and then build a base there, you need to put the build down and then put the move on top of it. But then somebody else is putting their stack in there too, and so you're shuffling these stacks together.
Thank you, Thunder Stealer. That's my favorite mechanic. It's very similar to the Game of Thrones board game, mm-hmm. but the order mechanic in this game, how you place orders face down on different planets. The tactical variety is what makes this game amazing, and that's my favorite mechanic of any game, how the orders get placed. Also, there's such a variety of troops and armies. You can play the game with, you know, there's two factions of each race. And you could play Zerg 10 games and focus on different things each game. You have your air troops, your land troops, because the map is different. You might have a bunch of planets that can only have air support, or you might have... special base that can only have ground troops. So every game mechanically, how you advance, how you play, where you put your orders is going to be different. Even because the maps are random, everything is built off two resources, which is the same in the StarCraft game, you know, minerals and the gas. And sometimes you throw it on the map and only like two planets have gas. So everyone's just going to be just kicking each other in the balls to get those two planets, which gets really crazy. So it's just a fun game. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to play based on the number of players.
The unit variety is weird, because, like, the Protoss, I was playing them yesterday, and they have, like, maybe a dozen different units. You know, I'm not going to bother with the math right now, but I built 3 of them the whole game.
Yep.
And it wasn't, like, because I was, like, super focusing on that or whatever. It's that, like, you literally cannot build every unit in the – like, you have to have a strategy, and that strategy is, like, my strategy was carriers and arbiters – Like, I had no time for Archons and Templars and stuff.
If you play a game like Twilight Imperium, you play for 10 hours and you slowly evolve your plan, then the last 2 hours is your plan is going crazy. This game, the game only goes like maybe six to seven turns, so you are by the time turn six to seven happens, if you're trying to build up this amazing force, you're going to be, all right, my force is built, and someone just won the game. So you're constantly throwing out your beginning troops while you're slowly bringing in the better troops and throwing them in there while you're trying to get to your, you know, your carriers or your ultra husks or ultra husks.
Well, not even just better, but like I would have to, like, simple math, like I would have to play that game like five times before I even used every unit.
Well, there's like, three tech trees. You really can only always max out one and maybe get down the way of a second one, and you're just ignoring a third tree every game. You can't build all three trees to max in a game. I mean, you can, but you lose.
Well, there's a faction that's their shtick, is they can build all three trees, but...
Well, you could do, like, the level one of the trees, but if
Chris, you're giving me a weird look.
Oh, well, that was just... Yeah, kind of, but even then you wouldn't. Like, one of the factions is, like, very, very end of the game, it just maxes all three trees and opens up all your options. But by the time you get to that point, you're going to have focused tech-wise on one thing anyway.
You will. Which is another fun thing of the game, is you have your basic troops and you can advance certain types of... So you have your trees and your troops, and then you can also, via technology purchases, upgrade certain types of troops. So you have all this layer upon layer of mechanics.
And it really does feel like you finish the board game and you're, man, I feel like I just played a game of StarCraft.
Yeah.
Like, it's different, obviously, but it feels like StarCraft.
We're playing 100 games of that in a row. We're playing 50 of them, and then we're moving on to one game, then 50 more. So
yes. I thought we were playing tonight, and then you didn't bring it. So.
Well, I'm repackaging it, so it's an out-of-print game, and I'm trying to make sure when I transport it I don't damage anything.
Nick's copy is 10 feet away from us.
I've really been debating that, because he has it. I've been thinking of asking him if I'd give him some money for it. Obviously, I'm not going to tell him what it's worth. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
$5 for that game. Give you a hug. We can die.
All right, so now we're pushing an hour and a half.
Big chunk of that was lost, but we are pushing minutes. Like 20 minutes of StarCraft talk.
Yeah, that's the appropriate amount of StarCraft talk.
We barely touched on why Andy recommends Simple Green.
No, I don't.
You don't recommend Simple Green?
No,
it's good stuff. I really like it.
Why don't you recommend it?
I've never tried it. Maybe
You can definitely use it for paint removal. Maybe it's very, very
it's
safe
the
for
best
that.
Paint removal.
But my recommendation is for a game that's old.
By the way, I'm going to pause you for a second. This is goddamn hilarious because I was going to recommend this game last podcast just for no reason. I'm like, you know what game's awesome and I haven't played in forever and people need to replay because it's awesome, blah, blah, blah. And I was going to recommend it, and then today you were playing it randomly, and that's hilarious to me.
Yeah, I've been playing it for like the last week, honestly. Yeah, so I must have picked up some kind of wavelength on that.
Or maybe we both heard mention of it like on TV, and so I don't know. But it's hilarious that you're going to recommend this because I almost did last week.
I finally finished Portal 2. I got it last year at the Christmas sale. It sat on my computer. I played like the first level, and I was able to pause WoW long enough in order for me to actually play it all the way through.
Pacific Rim, maybe, is had us thinking about it.
That might have actually triggered it, but yeah.
Portal 2 is amazing.
Portal 1
you beat it just in the single player mode, right?
Just in single player.
Because multiplayer, it's a completely different game. I want to play multiplayer with someone.
I will play multiplayer with you.
But I have it on the PC because that's how
I roll. Who cares? You can cross-platform. It's awesome. Because not only can you cross-platform, when I bought the PlayStation 3 one, it came with a download code to get it on Steam. And so me and my girlfriend's son, we played a multiplayer on the PC and the PS3 cross-platform just by buying the game once. So like, not only is it cross-platform, they encourage it by giving you the PC version with the console version.
I don't want to give away anything about the game, and if you already played it through, you pretty much know what goes on there. But all of the voice acting in that game is amazing.
Everything.
Just everything. I was very happy to not have it spoiled to me. So when I went through the game, there's parts in the game that I had no idea happened at all, and that was the best part. It's such a good game.
It's
man,
so flawless. I mean, it really is. Like, the gameplay is amazing. The characters are amazing. The voice acting is amazing. The plot is amazing. The pacing is amazing. There's nothing bad in that game.
And I got to play it on my laptop that Mo says, I can't play video games like that on my
well,
laptop.
Well, you can't play complicated games. That's Portal 2 is not very intense.
Some of the particle effects in there with the levels slamming.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not high frame rate. It's definitely, I mean, that's doable on a laptop.
But
it's a good,
For the two people on the planet who haven't played them yet, play Portal 1 first, too. We should sub-recommend that, because Portal 1 takes an hour to play.
It's not very
Portal
not
1
very
is
long.
Super, and super, super short. There's no reason not to play it as an appetizer to playing Portal 2, which is full game length.
My only word of a review of it is space.
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 The Valve made an official mod. Well,
Skyrim.
Yeah, they made the Skyrim mod where they added the robot.
They showed Nathan that earlier today. The Skyrim pretty mod amazing. For space.
Jeremy's just staring confusedly. Have you not played the
Portal? I really haven't played it yet.
Oh, what is wrong with you? Sweet Jesus. You have a PlayStation 3.
I do.
I am loaning you Portal 2.
Okay.
When I sat down and played, I started playing, I'm like, I guess I'm not getting it for the next like 13 hours until I finish this game.
That's honestly what happened over the Friday night. I sat down and started playing at like freaking 6 o'clock, and next thing I know, I looked up, it was 3:30 in the morning.
Well, technically, last year you got it, you played it for a few minutes, and then somehow you stopped and were able to wait a year. Because I just, once you, that game just sucks you in so well.
No idea what happened.
You went to the bathroom for a year?
Yeah.
It's so smart. It's so funny. Like, I love, like, I'm going to try a manual override on this door and just smash into the door. Using that as a term, a manual override on the door is, yep. is breaking it down.
Look away.
Great stuff.
Look away while I do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to give away anything in it. Just go play it.
It's fun and hilarious and awesome.
Yeah. Good. The cast is very small. Whatever number of characters there are probably my top that exact same number of characters in recent video game history. Like, every character is amazing.
Yeah.
Handsome Jack.
Oh, dude, oh. It's Handsome Jack level. Like, oh, every character in this game is Handsome Jack level.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Easily.
Like,
yeah.
Handsome Jack and Claptrap are awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, the other characters are, like, fun and stuff. But this is, every character in this game is Handsome Jack level. There isn't anybody
amazing.
Below it. It's astounding. Right.
And it's the puzzles are there. I mean, some of them are challenging, but they're still, it's always fun. It's
right.
never, like, frustrating.
Well, no, I've never heard anything bad about Portal 2.
Every
I just
mechanic
kind of
they introduce, just all of it.
Yep.
God. I just need to go, like, hold my Portal 2 case and masturbate now. I'm so excited over this game.
All right.
You need a banana.
I need a banana.
Jordan's banana is probably still around here somewhere.
It's
but
prepped.
It's already been used.
Jordan's banana is prepped for you.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Are we going to accidentally stop recording again at this
no,
point?
No, we're back to you. Yeah. You have to make a recommendation still.
I thought I recommended words.
No. Yeah, and then you stopped in the middle and said, come back to me.
I couldn't remember what it was.
No, we could just cut you off.
What if we end there, then we're like at an hour and a half, and that seems like good timing.
Done.
Yeah. So you recommend stopping now.
I recommend me not having a recommendation besides words. If I remember what it was, I'll post it in the thread.
Perfect.
Okay, so you ready now?
Timestamp 1:35:16 is you not recording.